Hello, it's Andrew from Exo Capital, and today I will start off by saying this is not a solicitation for investment. All we are doing here is documenting a journey on a prospective raise, and the timing of all these things may not be in real time. So some of these things may have already happened, and some of which are still prospective. So the only reason I'm doing this is because, frankly, not enough content is out there on tactically how do you raise a fund. I've tried and failed in the past. There's a different post on our blog about that, but this time around feels different. And I put together a special sort of investor subset list where I can more freely communicate what's going on there. And if you'd like to be on that list, let me know. So of course, because I'm a glutton for punishment, a week after we buy Growth Bar, our biggest acquisition to date, I decided we should try and raise a little fund. And a fund here is a misnomer. The term that's used in real estate for this type of thing is a fundless sponsor. So there's actually no fund here, right? A fund, there's a sort of like master entity, and then there's a subsidiary that like you raise the money into it, and the structures can be a little bit complicated, and this isn't that. So for this flip fund concept, all we're trying to do is raise $500,000 to $1 million into a single company, a single multi-member LLC. So there's no limited partner agreement. There's none of that bullshit. Frankly, it's expensive to set up, even though all of these lawyers are just copying the same damn documents they did for the last fund, because they all are basically the same thing. We're going to keep this stupid simple. This is going to be a multi-member LLC. We will be in there alongside of our investors, and we will have a schedule of the membership in it interests, the member units that we are, well, that different people own. So if we're raising $1 million and you put in 100 grand, you have roughly 10% of the membership units in the LLC. So just a note, if you were to do like a C corp, something that has actual shares, then that's why we're not saying shares. LLCs just have member units, which are, you know, on paper the same thing, but technically slightly different. So this is going to be an all-out win sprint. So again, we're trying to raise $500,000 to $1 million into a single LLC. We're going to buy one company with that LLC. We're going to try and double it. And the plan is to exit in 12 to 24 months, hence the term flip fund. Again, the reason this came about is last time we tried to raise into our LLC that holds or at least controls all of our acquisitions to date. So we've done 10, we've sold 4, so we currently have 6-ish plus or minus a few that we've built or just like tiny little things that we've acquired just as internal tools. So we tried to raise money into that thing. And this was during the same time that these same investors I was speaking with were putting money into AngelList at just the most batshit crazy valuations I've ever seen, right? Like there was truly an outrageous multiple being placed on anything software related during 2020, 2021. It was just bonkers out there. But our little thing, nobody wanted to give us a reasonable multiple. And when you're hiring dilutive capital to go and acquire companies, if you look at the cap table of us just doing $1 million raise, then another $1 million raise, then another $1 million raise, and that capital is dilutive, we were actually going to go out to acquire businesses with that capital. And if you just trace that logic through, we were going to be basically not owning very much of the company anymore. And that just wasn't tenable for a number of reasons, but mostly it's just not that interesting for us if we only own, you know, 10, 20% of XO. So this flip fund concept is pretty cool because we can set it aside. So this will be a standalone LLC. We can sort of eat the costs of our shared services team. So XO has a few developers, right? Shared customer support. You know, we have some freelancers and contractors that do other things for multiple of the portfolio companies. Roughly, XO right now by itself runs at a zero, so there's really no profit and there's not much loss, plus or minus a few thousand here or there on any given month. But roughly as of now, especially with this Growth Bar acquisition, we will kind of be at a zero there. So I don't think that this type of flip fund would be possible if we didn't have our shared services that we're just going to sort of subsidize to make this first few, this deal work and the first few of these types of flip funds work, or this flip fund concept work. Again, let's say we bought something for $1 million. It's making maybe 300,000, 400,000, maybe 500,000 if we get a really good deal a year. And that's frankly just not that much money. Once you put like, once you load it with costs and you load it with like even just one operator and one developer might eat a significant, if not all of that potential profit. So again, we're going to be using our team to execute on this. And again, the only way we are really going to be able to make the math work is because we're actually subsidizing all of the work. And we also decided, you know, a lot of people ask, Andrew, like, how many hours are you going to put into this thing, or how many hours, or how are you guys going to do billing? We're not going to do any of that shit. I'm not going to waste any time on doing that stuff. So if you go and you look on our pitch deck, I put this in the FAQs. We're going to take 100% of the cash flow and use it to grow the business as we see fit. And if you're not cool with that, then don't invest. Again, let's say we buy something for $500,000. It's making maybe $200,000 a year. I'm not going to do time tracking for sub 10K of costs. It's just not worth it. That's just like not where I want to be spending the time. I want to be able to use that money to hire a freelancer to write 100 blog posts over the next year, like all kinds of stuff like that. And if we're having to do time tracking, I think that that's just a really inefficient use of our time. And frankly, like, who gives a shit? It's like less than 10 grand. You're not going to make your gains on trickling in, you know, $600 a month at a time on an acquisition like this. That's just not where the money is. The money will be if we can get some kind of multiple expansion when we sell it in 12 to 24 months, and if we're able to double it, that's where the real dollars will be. Frankly, again, if you look at our P&L, that's where we've made the most cash, is once we sell the thing. Cash flowing the thing, it just takes forever. It takes years and years and years. And again, that was one of the major objections when we tried to raise money last time, is in a sort of permanent capital model, you just don't know when you're going to get your money back. And these private investments are illiquid, so we would have to find somebody that wants to buy you out, or we would have to go and buy you out. And it's all doable. Plenty of people do it. There's obviously a market there, but I'm looking at this from, what's my network? What can I actually accomplish? And I think this is a structure that I can actually make work. So we are, as of Growth Bar's acquisition, more or less fully allocated. We will be putting 10 to 20% of the capital into this prospective flip fund. However, we cannot go and do another large acquisition, or, you know, $500,000 to $1 million acquisition. We just don't have any cash left. I forget if I've posted this before, but instead of the June stats breaking them out by company, I just threw our P&L in here. So if you're curious, you can check that out. You can see how we're kind of running at a loss. Some of the payments from the WorkCloud acquisition are coming in sort of weird times. I think it's a 3-month schedule over the next 12 or 18 months, something like that. I'd have to double check, but it's a little lumpy. And of course, one of the interesting things about buying Growth Bar and a business of this size is you start to get into a little bit more of the complexity. So for all of our other acquisitions to date, Screenshot, Sheepest, WorkCloud, Inlytics, ColdDM, all of those were really, really simple. Like, even I could have done like all the financials for it. Like, it just wasn't that complicated. And what we're starting to see with Growth Bar is that with size comes a little bit more complexity. So for example, Growth Bar, when you sign up, they will make you put in your credit card. A lot of companies do that. I think in the past, this used to mean that the customer or the visitor was a high intent user. I don't think it means that anymore. I think it just is a way to remove spam, because for whatever reason, people sign up with like 8 different Gmail accounts just so they can use the tool for an extra week for free in some limited fashion. I think all in, they're probably saving like less than $1. So I don't know why people do this, but it seems to happen on Growth Bar. It happens with Supersend. It happens across our whole portfolio. But we're going to be removing it and start measuring and see what works. But the point I was saying about complexity is that when these credit card trials, people will put in a garbage credit card or a temporary card, or like we have in Mercury with a card with daily limits, which you can set to like $1. So basically all the transactions fail, but it's a valid credit card. So, or what I started doing personally when I encounter these things is you sign up and then you cancel immediately because I don't want to forget. And then, you know, when the free trial ends, like it's just canceled. So I don't think this credit card toll booth means what it used to mean. So we're going to try and remove it and measure stuff and see what happens there. I know in the past, this company has had, Growth Bar has had issues with people signing up with a bunch of different fake email accounts. And, you know, it's a huge problem. There's probably an interesting product there that a lot of people would be happy to pay to use. But again, the point I was trying to make with Stripe is that there's actually $28,000 just sitting in Stripe because they hold it because of all the chargebacks. So somebody signs up, the payment fails for whatever reason, they cancel the card, or there's a low limit like we do in Mercury. And we are actually paying close to $1,000 a month just in Stripe fees, just for these failed transactions, just for these failed initial free trial transactions. And so we're going to get rid of that and see what happens there. So let the experimentation begin. If you are interested in learning more about the Flip Fund, you can just hit me up on LinkedIn, Twitter, reply to the email, whatever. See you around.